Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what does your prayer life look like? Some people begin and end their days with prayer. Some include giving thanks as a requisite prelude to eating dinner. The prayer warriors of this parish turn to prayer whenever any need is sent down the prayer chain, and they've been quite busy lately. Some people pray in times of crisis. Some people, sad to say, rarely, if ever, pray outside a church service. As we read the New Testament, it becomes apparent that prayer was of great importance, both to the disciples and to Jesus. Many texts speak about Jesus going off to a quiet place to pray. And we are told that fervent prayer was his preparation before being taken into captivity and led towards the cross. Now, the disciples, having grown up in the Jewish tradition, would have had various patterns of prayer as part of their spiritual lives from childhood. Yet, they saw something so profound in Jesus' prayer life that they begged him to teach them how to pray. One of Jesus' responses was, of course, the prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. In today's text, it is Jesus who is encouraging his disciples to pray and not to give up. Some translations say to pray and not lose heart. Some say to pray and never give up hope, to pray and never be discouraged. I love one particular translation that says that we are to pray until the answer comes. Jesus seems to be speaking right into the human tendency to just quit praying. Whether out of weariness or distraction or just the feeling that we're not getting anywhere. But Jesus tells this parable in order to encourage us to pray and to keep praying. The story that Jesus tells to press home this point is interesting from a couple of angles. We have a widow who has been wronged. Now, one of the things that we need to remember is that in that culture, widows, especially if they did not have any adult sons, were extremely vulnerable. They had virtually no status in the community and became easy prey for unscrupulous adversaries. So she brings her case to the judge, seeking justice for her cause. I do find it interesting that we never have any idea of what that cause is, because that's not the point of the parable. Initially, the judge refuses to be bothered by her request, but this woman has some gumption and keeps returning to press her case, and finally, he responds to her plea for justice. And his response is interesting. I don't fear God, and I don't care about what people think, but I will give her what she wants so that she will quit coming and bothering me. He has no interest in justice, and he has no pity or compassion for this woman, but surely, because of her persistence, he does what is right just to get her out of his face. I like the way Eugene Peterson puts it in his paraphrase, The Message. He never gave her the time of day, but after this went on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks and even less what people think, but because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. This is the first segment of today's text, the persistence And the judge who doesn't really care and doesn't really want to, but ultimately responds to the woman's request. It's a story meant to illustrate that when you persist, you will get what you want. If you get discouraged and lose heart and quit, you surely won't. And although we know that God's answer to prayer is not always yes, this story is meant as an encouragement to persist in prayer no matter what. The second part of this text compares the character of this unjust judge to the character of a just and loving God. Surely, if a very flawed human being can be prevailed upon to do what is right, we can trust that God, who loves us, will respond to our needs and our petitions. Jesus says, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them?" And the answer to this rhetorical question is obvious. Of course, God will do what is right for his beloved children. But even in this part of the text, it speaks of his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Again, there is that emphasis on persistence in prayer, an invitation to keep putting our needs and requests before our loving Heavenly Father. And then in the conclusion of this text, there's a rather poignant question. "And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" In a world where sometimes it seems as though faith is diminishing from generation to generation, it is devastating to think that when Jesus returns, there will be no one left with faith. But to put it in its context, we need to reflect on that statement with respect to prayer. Maybe we need to reword it like this. When Jesus returns, will he find people with enough faith, enough trust, enough confidence in God to persevere in prayer no matter how difficult life is getting? Because at the end of the day, prayer is fundamentally an act of trust. It is an acknowledgement that it is from God that we receive all that we need. And it expresses our confidence that our loving God will always do right by us. The poignant question, "Will he find faith on earth?" is really asking about faithfulness in prayer. Will we persist in prayer? Will we continue to entrust ourselves and all of our cares to God? Will we constantly turn to God, understanding him to be our helper in every need? Or will we quit, get tired, get discouraged, lose heart, and just give up on praying? We are all familiar with Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." I was not a very good Greek student, but once in a while I look at the Greek, because sometimes it's very important. You see, this is not properly translated simply as "ask and then quit asking," "seek for a while and then quit seeking," "knock once and, well, if there's no answer, well, just go away." No, no. This particular Greek verb needs to be translated "ask and keep on asking," "seek and keep on seeking," "knock and keep on knocking," "banging on the door until we get the response." Again, it's another call to persistence in our life of prayer. The book study this fall is reading a spiritual classic called The Practice of the Presence of God, written by Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection in the 1600s. He advocates a spiritual life that is more about our awareness of the presence of God than simply filling the space with many words. But it is also an exhortation to be turning to God constantly and with persistence, to develop a habit of ongoing dialogue with God. He advocates cultivating an ongoing attention to the presence of God in our lives, which does sometimes include expressions of our need and our trust in God. It's too easy to compartmentalize our lives into little boxes, assigning Sunday for worship and perhaps keeping a particular time for daily prayers. But God doesn't want just a corner of our lives. In the Old Testament, it sometimes speaks of God as a jealous God, and that's because he wants all of us and the whole of our lives. As Brother Lawrence put it, to be holy gods. God keeps calling us back into covenant relationship with him, a relationship in which we are invited always to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. May we be given the energy, the hope, the trust, and the desire to pray and to keep on praying. Amen.